Let's turn again to that portion of Scripture that we read at the commencement of our service. And I want to consider with you this morning the verse 11 in chapter 2 of Matthew. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, verse 11. Very well known verse. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Lord, remember us now as we consider thy word together. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want you to notice in the very simple verse before us this morning the place where these wise men were found. You will notice that it says at the commencement of the verse 11, and when they were come into the house. There's very many people represent the wise men as being found in a stable. And of course you might get that on some Christmas cards that you'll pick up along the way. But the Bible doesn't tell us that the wise men came to a stable. You'll notice very, very clearly it says they were come into the house. If you read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, you'll see that it says very clearly there that it was the shepherds that came to a stable. And when the shepherds found the Lord, they saw the babe lying in a manger. So you'll see that in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. Here, in this instance, it is the house they were in. But you'll not only see the place where these wise men were found, you notice the person whom they saw. Because it says they saw the young child. Now the Lord is not now a babe in a manger. He's a young child. And he's a young child in and around 2 years of age. That's why later on in the chapter you read that Herod sent forth his men and they slew all the children in that area, Bethlehem area, from 2 years old and down. So you have the person that's seen is the young child. The Lord Jesus Christ is a young child. But then you'll find that in Luke 2, it's the babe that the shepherds find. He's not now a babe. He has progressed somewhat. He's not now in a stable. He's in a house. But if you look at this verse of Scripture, you'll see not only the place where the wise men were and the person that the wise men saw, you'll also see the presentation that the wise men made. And that's what I want us to consider together this morning. This presentation that the wise men made. And in relation to that, you'll see their adoration. Because when the wise men come into the house, they see Mary, and they see the young child. And it very clearly, specifically, plainly says that they fell down and worshipped him. They fell down and worshipped him. You'll notice that they didn't worship Mary. They had regard for her, no doubt, absolutely no doubt. But when they fell on their knees, their worship was toward the Lord. And that's an amazing and an astounding thing, that this young child should be worshipped. For this young child is none other than God Himself manifest in the flesh. Didn't we sing this morning in our opening praise? Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. Pleased as man with man to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. Isn't it amazing and astounding to think that that young child is Emmanuel? The Bible tells us in another place, in John's Gospel, chapter 1, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. If we could go into the depths of what those words mean, either in the text of Scripture or even in the hymn that we sung, we'd be astounded to think that the Creator of the ends of the earth, he that stretched out the heavens as a scroll, he that commanded the light to shine out of darkness, he that spoke and all came into being just by the word of his command, he's there. He's there as a young child, veiled in flesh. And no wonder those wise men from Babylon fall and worship him, for he's God come down from heaven. But not only do you see their adoration, this is what I want us to focus upon now, their presentation. Their presentation. And I want us to think about the significance when they opened their treasures and they presented unto him gifts. The gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. I put it to you this morning that the first mentioned of those gifts, the gold, indicates and speaks to us of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's no doubt about it, but that God was providing for this family. Isn't it amazing how the Lord thinks about our needs, even this poor family? They were going to have to leave the country. They were going to have to go into the land of Egypt for their own safety. Herod the king has evil designs on this other king, as he saw it. And they were going to have to get out of the way. And here, at the right time, and just when they need it, there come men from out of nowhere, as Mary and Joseph would think, and they gave them gold. And there's no doubt but that gold would have been used to sustain them when they were away in the land of Egypt. God provided for them. He met their need. But more than that, there's the significance that we have suggested. Gold in the Bible is indicative of deity. And if you were to turn to Hebrews chapter 9, in the opening verses, you will see some furniture of the temple referred to, specifically the tabernacle in Hebrews. And it refers to the altar of incense. It refers to the mercy seat. And it talks about them being overlaid round about with gold. And you can look at the specifics in the book of Exodus and other places, and certainly chapter 9, the opening verses of Hebrews, and you'll see that there was quite a lot of furniture in the temple overlaid with gold. The acacia wood was indicative of the humanity of Christ. The gold was indicative of his deity, his godhood, his divinity. And as we said just a few short moments ago, isn't it astounding and amazing? We have God of very God dwelling among us. We cannot begin to comprehend it. We cannot begin even to fully understand it. God takes on himself human nature, and he has taken on human nature and will have that nature, that body, forever. Forever. When we go to glory, it's that same Christ that was on earth that we will see. The very first time he was beheld, even by angels, when he came into this world. You'll find that in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He was seen of angels. Here he is, the infant. Here he is, the babe that was born is now an infant and will become a man to pay your debt and to pay my debt. That's why we sang that hymn, "He died an atoning death for thee. And that's why our sister sang this morning, his wounds have paid my ransom. That's the reason for the season. Christ coming into the world to live and labor among men and to die his atoning death on the cross. You have the gold then that speaks of deity, the deity of Christ. You have the frankincense, and that speaks of the devotion of Christ. In the book of Ephesians, the chapter 5, and the closing verse, it talks about, or the opening verse, it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself as a sacrifice of a sweet smelling savor. And you will know that in the tabernacle, in the temple, there was an altar of incense. It was a sweet smelling savor unto God. No one else could ever have made such a presentation as Christ did to the Father. You will know in the scriptures that the enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ sent people to find something in Christ's words whereby they could accuse him. You'll find that in John chapter 7. They wanted to see a chink. They wanted to hear a word. They wanted to find even the smallest thing that they could in order to destroy him. And when those that were sent to listen to him, they had to come back and say to those that sent them, never man spake like this man. Even those who were out to find something to accuse him of, they couldn't find any fault in his words. Never man spake like this man. And we could also say, never man lived like this man. He was holy. He was harmless. He was undefiled. And the Bible tells us he was separate from sinners. He's the chiefest of 10,000. There's no spot in him. There's not a wrong word has ever proceeded from his mouth. Not a wrong thought has coursed its way through his mind. Not a wrong motive has emanated from his breast. He is altogether lovely. And he is that sweet smelling savor unto God. I put it to you this morning, the gold indicates his deity. The frankincense indicates his devotion, his utter, complete, unsullied devotion to God the Father and to His will. You have the gold. You have the frankincense. And then in the last place you have the myrrh. And I put it to you that the myrrh is symbolic of His death. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 15 and the verse 23, when the Roman soldiers brought him to crucify him on the cross, it says they gave him wine mingled with myrrh, but he refused it. He refused it. The myrrh in the wine has a numbing effect. He would not have undergone the sufferings with a full, clear mind had he taken that admixture. He refused it. For Christ had come to bear our sin. Christ had come to take upon Him our judgment. The wrath of God that was your due for your sin, the wrath of God that was my due for my sin, was to fall on Him. Think about it. Here's the little infant. And then here's the young child. And then we see him ultimately upon the cross. Was it for me? For me alone? The Savior left His glorious throne, the dazzling splendors of the sky. Was it for me? He came to die. It was for me. Yes, all for me. O love of God, so great, so free. O wondrous love, I'll shout and sing. He died for me. My God. My King. That young infant, there he is before the wise man. He's going to live and labor amongst men. He's going to die as a substitute for sinners. He did it. For you. He did it for me. Little wonder then these men fall down and worshiped Him. And that act, folks, is not just a mere external thing. That act was those men giving themselves to the Lord. The Bible tells us, and it's referring to the direction in which they went, but the Bible tells us they went home another way. Here were men who had met the Lord, and when they went home another way. I put it to you this morning that if you come and put your trust and bow your knee and your heart to this same Jesus, you will go home another way. Was ever gift like the Savior given? No, not one. Know not what will he refuse you. A home in heaven. No, not one. He's here for you today. He's here for you this morning. Amen. May God bless his word to all our hearts today.